Welcoming to the program, Christopher Carosa. He is the author of Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Helped Crack the Case of America's Greatest Culinary Mystery. Welcome to the open line, Christopher. Hope that you're having a good day. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fabulous. It's National Hamburger Month, and you can't beat that. There's nothing better than a good patty, and there's so many different kinds of ways to do the hamburger. I got to start out, though, with this title, because classic crime-solving techniques and hamburgers typically don't go together. How did you manage to meld those?
Well, we had a mystery on our hands. The mystery was, who the heck sold the first hamburger? And there's a lot of different stories. They're competing stories, and those stories have an incredible amount of detail. So think about maybe, you know, how Sherlock Holmes would approach this. You know, you've got a crime scene there, you got a lot of suspects, and they all have their alibis, their stories, and what you do is you take them one by one, and you analyze each fact that they talk about, and see whether or not that fact could be possibly true. So that's what I did.
Makes sense, and it's nice to be able to do that. So we know that there are a number of communities across the United States that have said, I am home to the original hamburger, from St. Louis to Dallas, over to New Haven, Connecticut, Hamburg, New York, and Seymour, Wisconsin, closest to us. I know exactly where Seymour is. They all claim to be the birthplace of the burger, but who's right and how do you find that out?
Well, the first thing you do is you eliminate the impossible. And the way you do that is you look at the year the story goes and it takes place.
Okay.
And you find out, is it possible for that to have occurred? In other words, did the hamburger exist prior to the year that they're claiming they invented the hamburger? And all I did was I did newspaper research. Mm-hmm. I looked all over the country for newspaper articles that would have mentioned the word hamburger or Hamburg.
Okay.
Because it was called Hamburg sandwich. And I'll tell you, that was actually pretty hard.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people have their last names as Hamburg, and this predates the existence of the Hamburg sandwich.
Right.
So it took a while for me to actually get it filtered down, so I got exactly when the earliest article was that I could find. And the earliest article, I think, was 1893 in a saloon in Texas.
Oh.
Was the first place that I could see somebody selling Hamburg sandwiches. But by 1894... there was extensive articles in San Francisco and I think in soon after in Chicago that actually told stories of street vendors that were selling hamburgers. In San Francisco, they actually have an illustration of this street vendor flipping hamburgers as he was cooking them. So it's pretty obvious when the hamburger was well known, you know, because by the time it hits newspapers, it's a pretty well-known thing. So any stories, any origin stories that occurred after that simply weren't true.
And so you were able to rule out which communities based on that?
Well, Athens, Texas, and New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, New Haven, Connecticut, there was an article last week, I think, in the New Haven newspaper. The family who makes this claim denies everything that I said. But, I mean, it's hard to refute the newspaper articles from over a century ago.
Right. So, okay, where did the hamburger originate? The hamburger sandwich that we know of, where did it come from in the United States?
Ah, you know, you ask something that's very interesting. You say that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing we know for sure is that the first hamburgers were not served on buns.
Really?
They were served on bread. And this was the way sandwiches were served in the day. If
okay.
you think, we're down to really two suspects, both from 1885, the Seymour, Wisconsin one and the Erie County, or the Buffalo one, the Hamburg, New York one.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those were at county fairs.
Okay.
So you think of it like a fast food. Same thing with the food cart. In fact, the food cart story I told you about in San Francisco, they told how they wedged the bread, and they put the hamburger in the bread. So the hamburger that was originally served was not served like what we would see today on a bun. That came maybe a few years later. But the idea of the hamburger itself, you know, really that's the question is, you know, why did it start? What caused it to start? And the two competing stories, the first thing I did was I went to see, well, which of the fairs occurred first? Let's assume both stories are true. Which fair occurred first?
Okay.
Well, the fair that occurred first was the one in Erie County, the Erie County Fair, Hamburg, New York. And then I found out, and this is actually something that was previously not discovered, the Seymour, Wisconsin claim, the story is remarkably verified. Verified in the sense is that when it was told 40 years later,
mm-hmm.
you know, a critical aspect of the story involved Charlie in the Green, Hamburger Charlie, that's what he was called,
yeah.
losing $10, uh-huh. and then somebody finding it. Well, when the story was told 40 or 45 years later, the person who found it, who was then around 80 years old, 2 weeks later told the newspaper, hey, I'm the farmer that found the $10. So it sounds like that's a verification of the story,
mm-hmm.
about as close to a smoking gun as you can get.
Yeah.
Here's a problem. The sequence of fares, which is critical to the story and the losing of the $10, could not possibly have occurred. The earliest date was 1891.
Uh-oh.
So one of the fairs that was cited didn't exist until 1891.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that kind of like, you know, maybe it didn't really happen in 1885. You know, but decades later, people kind of mishmash their memory, and it's really tough to say. But, you know, even if it did happen in 1885, the one in Hamburg, New York occurred first.
So it's Hamburg, New York. That is the origination of the hamburger sandwich.
That's right. And the thing is, that this is why a lot of people don't believe the story, because they say, oh, yeah, right. The hamburger sandwich just happens to have been made in a place called Hamburg, New York. And what I found out, again, going back to original newspaper articles from 1885, from that same fair, the Erie County Fair, mm-hmm. in 1885, there's a story about a cheese vendor who is asked, you know, what do you call this cheese? And the answer was, well, we're going to call it Hamburg cheese. So it was the convention of the day to name things after the place that it occurred.
How interesting.
So that's how you got the name Hamburg,
yeah.
Hamburg sandwich. And it's now we call it a hamburger. It took maybe a decade or two for the name to evolve from Hamburg to hamburger. And for a number of decades, it was called both.
Yeah.
Even to some extent today. It's called both.
Amazing. But, you know, Christopher Carosa, yeah. is the author of a book called Hamburger Dreams. Subtitle is How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Helped Crack the Case of America's Greatest Culinary Mystery. It's funny because Hamburg Inn Number 2 is the name of a restaurant in the Iowa City area that's famous because we're first in the nation caucuses. It is a must stop for presidential candidates. So we have our own little Hamburg thing, but it's really interesting because it almost ended up being the Seymour Burger, because that is just outside of Green Bay in Ottawa County, Wisconsin. I mean, they're already known for bird's eye and for making paper. They almost became known as the place where the hamburger came from.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. None of the other stories explain how the name came about.
Mm-hmm.
It's only the Erie County Fair story that explains it, and that one's the most plausible.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. Hamburger Month is in America right now, and how many hamburgers do Americans eat during a calendar year?
Oh, man, I think I have that stat in the book somewhere, but it's there's a lot of zeros after the number.
Oh, hold on. I'm looking at 50 billion a year, just Americans alone. I mean, think about that. We've come to the History Channel now has this series of documentaries, The Food That Built America. And I love the way that they figure in all the different hamburger chains into this. Some of the most amazing stuff with regard to automation and with regard to standardization and training of restaurant employees comes from the hamburger, and specifically, you know, the kind of flavors that you have through, say, McDonald's and Burger King, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. In fact, in one of the chapters of the book, I talk about the world's second greatest invention,
mm-hmm.
which would be the hamburger, and how it turned into this, to the biggest business worldwide. You know, almost everyone you know has been touched somehow by this business, whether they've worked in the fast food industry or if they've eaten at a fast food restaurant. Everyone participates in this hamburger business. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is. Okay, now you've got my appetite whetted. You said it's the second greatest invention of all time. What's the first then?
Well, this is a rhetorical trope. You never answer that question.
I'll give you
a hint. When you think about fast food, what's required for fast food to be fast? And I'm talking about from the customer standpoint.
Okay, gotcha. We'll go from there, and I'll let everybody's appetite be whetted so that they can pick up this book, Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Help Crack the Case of America's Greatest Culinary Mystery. Okay, let's real quickly, sort of a lightning round. The original hamburger, was it baked, fried, boiled? How did they make it? Was it a ball or was it a patty?
It was a patty. It was cooked on a gas grill, and there's reasons for that, as I describe in the book. And also, it had a unique recipe. In order to cook it thoroughly, they had to do some mixtures in it. Now, I don't know the secret recipe, but I do know a couple of the ingredients, brown sugar and coffee.
How interesting is that? I wouldn't expect that. Also, you got to think back then, I would imagine that even though it was like very fresh ground beef, the whole refrigeration portion of it, there might have been some issues going along with that. Did you ever discover any of those as you were working your way through?
In fact, that's critical to the story. The Menchus brothers, who were the vendors at the Erie County Fair, were known for their pork sausage patty sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
And they ran out of pork sausage. They went to the butcher. The butcher, the way the story originally went, is the butcher refused to sell them any pork because he didn't want to slaughter a pig, because he would basically waste the entire animal because there was no refrigeration then.
Yeah.
So instead what he did is he sold them some ground beef. And that's what they use. Now, here's the thing that I discovered.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably more to the story than what that butcher said.
Yeah.
And you can imagine why he didn't tell them the truth. The truth was, in Erie County, New York, in 1885, there was a swine epidemic. Not a swine flu epidemic from people, but pigs.
Oh.
Two-thirds of the pig population died off.
Wow.
So they did not have a lot of pigs to waste. And if you're selling pork, you're not going to tell a customer, well, you know, all the pigs are diseased, so I don't want to waste one.
Exactly.
You make up another excuse. Oh, the refrigerator hasn't been invented yet, so I'm not going to sell you a pig.
So this is perfect because I was the number one pork-producing state in the entire country. So this is perfect, an opportunity for us to weave that in. And on top of that, the number one corn-producing state, there's so many cattle and heads of pork and cattle that get fed by Iowa corn. This just makes sense, and it really weaves its way into this book, Hamburger Dreams, without anybody knowing it. The smash patty or the grill patty, I mean, I remember when I was a kid going to the Legion Lanes with my mom on bowling night, Thursday night, I had my first ever smash burger, and I fell in love with that griddle top burger. It's hard. It's a 50-50 whether the grilled burger or the griddle top burger.
Yes. I don't know. Well, I mean, the grill, the way they made it originally was on a grill.
Right.
So they had that. But
exactly.
And there's actually a reason why they were there with their gas grill, and that's part of the story, too. You could take a look at it in the book. I mean, you know, it's
yeah,
a lot of detail,
I understand. Got to get the book. And here's the thing. If you go to hamburgerdreams.com, you can find out more about the book, more about Christopher Carosa. You can get the book there, I would imagine, also through your independent bookstore. We love supporting independent bookstores. Hamburger Dreams, How Classic Crime-Solving Techniques Helped Crack the Case of America's Greatest Culinary Mystery. Christopher Carosa, we're going to recommend that as people make these hamburgers, as they grill them up for their friends and family, that they can entertain them with little-known fact there, Nomi, that whatever comes out of Hamburger Dreams, they can just insert it after that. Does that sound good?
That sounds perfect. Thank you very much.
That's awesome. Christopher, thanks for joining us out here on the Open Line, and happy Hamburger Month to you.
Happy Hamburger Month. Okay.